Ladies and gentlemen, podcasting since 2005, you're listening to Gamertag Radio with your host, podcaster Hall of Famer Danny Pena, the always opinionated Paris Lilly, and from outside of the norm, Peter Toledo. This is Gamertag Radio.
Welcome to a brand new episode of Gamer Tag Radio, and I just finished recording a brand new daily conversations. I haven't done that with Paris since maybe before E3. I hope everybody, you know, enjoys it. We had a great conversation because, look, we haven't spoke about this because we already had a lot of pre-recorded stuff already scheduled for the podcast. So basically, Paris is attending Gamescom this year. So we have a lot of plans lined up for the show. That this is in Germany, for those who don't know. So yeah, Paris is going to be there and it's going to be a lot of fun. So we talked about that, and I'm also going to be playing an audio that I aired this months ago with my friend Reed about the ESA. We were talking about, like, you know, E3 behind the scenes stories, and the conversation came up about when the White House had a private meeting with the video game industry. And I think right now it's very important to listen to this because it's a conversation that a lot of people are not talking about, you know, so I'm going to play it later on in the show. So stay tuned and we'll be right back. Enjoy daily conversation here only on Gamer Tag Radio.
Send us your feedback or questions. Give us a call at 786-273-7GTR. Email us at fanmail@gamertagradio.com or leave a message on speakpipe.com/gamertagradio.
Yo,
Paris, what's up, man?
What's going on, man?
I'm reading your tweet. You're excited, man. You're excited for Gamescom, huh? We haven't really talked about this because I think the last time we recorded together, we had already stuff recorded, pre-recorded, you know? And yeah, you're going to Gamescom, man, so that's dope. I'm very excited about it.
Yeah. Man. Yeah, we haven't officially talked about it yet, but yeah, I'm gonna go to Gamescom. I'm pretty excited about it. Matter of fact, I officially got my media badge this morning, so I think so. It's all set. Travel's all set. Everything's booked, so I'm good to go. I've already booked a bunch of appointments to go see certain people. Like I'm gonna go see Xbox. Got an interview set up with Xbox already. I'm gonna go CD Projekt Red, so I'm going to go see Cyberpunk again. Got an interview set up with them. Got some other games already booked to check out. I'm pretty excited about it. Like, it's crazy because I didn't really go to E3 this year. It's very limited. So this is almost like my E3 that I get to go to.
Yeah.
But I'm going by myself and I'm going to a country and a place I've never been before. And it's like, I'm already completely booked. Everything. I'm busy from the second I land until I leave. I'm busy when I'm there. So that's a good thing. Good thing. I'm very excited for it.
Are you mentally prepared? Cause dude, when was the last time you went to an event like that by yourself?
I mean, E3 back in the day I used to do, but
it's
different because back then, you know, we didn't have like the access that we have now. I didn't have back then. So it was like, if I got anything, I was just super excited to get it.
Yeah.
But now it's like, I'm at the point where I'm turning down appointments at Gamescom because I just don't have the time. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So plus Gamescom, from what everyone's telling me, it's huge and I've never been there. So I'm booking stuff, hoping I'm leaving enough time to get to the other thing on time. I just don't know. I was actually looking at a map the other day. I think I'll be okay because it looks like a lot of the stuff I'm doing is all in kind of one central area.
Mm-hmm.
But that thing looks like it's four times the size of the convention center. It's huge.
Holy crap.
It's crazy. Yeah.
Now, are you going to be close, like hotel-wise, walking distance, or
It'll be close. Yeah, okay. It'll be close. Look, obviously, with a lot of stuff going on in the news today, I'm not going to disclose where I am. But yeah, it's fine. Transportation, all that stuff's already taken care of, so I'm good to go on that.
Really good, man. So what was it you were going to say? You were going to say something and change conversation.
I was going to say, unfortunately, like Jeff Keighley is hosting that opening night live, where they're going to, you know, bunch of different publishers are going to be there showing new games, new reveals, all that stuff. Like, I know Kojima is a highlight that's there showing up Death Stranding. Unfortunately, I can't go because even as media, I had to get a ticket. It's already sold out. It sold out in hours.
Oh, wow.
And I didn't realize it was going to be that aggressive or already did it yesterday. I tried to log in this morning. It was already sold out. So I'm not going to be able to be in attendance in the crowd, but I'll just watch it on stream, obviously.
That's good. That's good. Man, Germany, man. That is crazy. And this is the first time. This is the first time that we actually, like, one of us is actually going over there to cover the event because we've never, ever done that. So I'm really excited and curious to see what the difference between that and E3 and just the vibe, their environment, the city. I love every time I go to, like, a different country. What the things that I love to do is pastry, food, drinks. I love, like, local drinks and just to learn about the culture, about Germany, you know? So,
well, yeah, everything that I hear is that Gamescom is way more organized than E3 as far as it comes to dealing with getting the media the access they need versus the public. Mm-hmm. You know, being able to obviously see things as well here is way more organized than what E3 has been doing the past few years. So we'll see. I'm excited to see how all that goes down. But it's funny, man. You know, after everything that happened at E3 this year, like with Cyberpunk, obviously that last day and just all the love that had been shown and all that stuff and the excitement and everything that came through it, you know, I legitimately wanted to go to Gamescom, man. You know, you and I was having a conversation about that. I talked about it a little bit on Twitter, like, hey, you know, I would love to go to Gamescom. I wish I could figure this out in a way. And it's just funny how the world works. It wound up working itself out and I'm going. So, you know, again, something else to chalk off the bucket list. Yeah, I've been to Gamescom, so I'm very, very excited for it. And I'm thankful that, you know, my real job, my full-time job, they're very supportive as well as far as me going. So it's going to be good, man. I'm going to be over there for a week, be able to check out Germany for the first time, obviously check out the event and just everything, man. It's going to be an exciting experience. I'm really looking forward to it.
So,
let me say this one thing. And I'll say this because I've talked about it on Twitter, so it's not a secret.
Yeah.
I got denied for PAX for a media badge. And it was confusing, to be honest with you, that I got denied. And I've not followed up on it. It's because then the Gamescom thing happened. So I knew it's like logistically, my wife would probably divorce me if I was trying to go all this stuff. So I didn't pursue it further, but it was surprising that I got denied because I don't understand why. It's baffling, but it's good to have the validation of, all right, we go to E3 every year. Excuse me. I qualified for a media badge at Gamescom. I got a media badge for TwitchCon, you know, as an example. Comic-Con over the years, I go to that. So I don't know why this year, for whatever reason, I got denied for PAX. It's a little baffling. It's a little bummed out about it, but it's okay. I mean, I think Gamescom is the better opportunity, to be honest with you, anyways. But it sucks that I did want to potentially go to PAX. And again, PAX for me is more about just hanging out with our friends and our colleagues and checking out some of the panels more so than actual coverage of games. So it's okay that I'm not going, but I guess we'll see next year. I'll try to see if I go next year.
I see this as like, hey, man, you know, it is what it is. I know they made a lot of changes throughout the years at PAX. You know, there was people that we know that worked there. The process was super easy back then. Now, I don't know what's going on. That, you know, a lot of people have been getting denied. But here's the weird thing. If you are a part of a panel, then, yeah, you got access. You're good. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it, man. But, hey, you know, it is what it is. I'm happy that you're attending Gamescom for the first time and totally different country. And I think that's going to be a better event for us to attend. You know, we've been to PAX many times in the past, you know, so this is new. This is totally new. And just to get the experience, Paris, it's going to be amazing for you, man. You know what I'm saying? Attending that for the first time.
Exactly. And that's kind of how I look at it. Like, it was funny. I guest hosted on another gaming podcast, up and coming gaming podcast. And, you know, they're just starting out. They're just trying to figure it out. And, you know, the reason I wanted to go on there is because, and I told the story, it's like our relationship, how I got into it. Like, you know, you were my inspiration to start in this stuff, and you took the time out of your schedule to help me. Mm-hmm. So I've always had that mentality of let's pay it forward. If I can help someone start out, I'm going to do it. Right. Yeah. I had the time. It's like it worked out. I had time, you know, to do it, you know, on my schedule. So I sat down with those guys for an hour and I kind of just told them just old stories about how like you and I met, how you helped me out, you know, like Uncle Gamer days, you know, all leading up to when I joined GTR, just old E3 memories, how you and I used to hustle to get into events and parties that we had no business being at. Like I told him like that Gears of War 2 one, like how we met John DiMaggio and all that stuff.
And we were not supposed to be there.
Not at all. But again, because the point I was making to them, it's all about relationships, right? It's all about going to you got to go to events and show your face. You have to.
Yeah.
Because if you show your face, you put that face to a name, you establish those relationships, they last forever, man. I mean, because like even with that Gears of War thing, like the story I told them was, you know, we knew a certain person that told us where it was. But even then, once we got to the door, we knew the PR person that was checking people in. And she looked at us and was like, I know y'all ain't supposed to be here, but whatever. Go in.
Yeah.
Because they knew us. Because they knew us and they knew that relationship. And then we made something out of going to that thing. Met John DiMaggio, met the whole, you know, Gears of War cast, that whole thing. But the point of that I was making with them is you can't, and you're the one that told me this, you can't just sit at home behind your mic and expect like, oh, I'm going to make a huge success out of being a podcaster and get all this access. Like, number one, I told them it's going to take time. You can't expect instant success. But if you have local events that you can attend, if you have the means to attend a PAX or whatever the case, get out there, show your face, let people know who you are, and you'll slowly build up that relationship. Because, like, the perfect example for me was last week, I went to the Call of Duty multiplayer reveal, right? And I'm talking to the PR person. You know who I'm talking about. But I'm talking to the PR person there, and I turn to him, and I go, you know, this event makes me realize how old I'm getting. He goes, what do you mean? And I go, do you realize that the first time I met you was at Infinity Ward back in 2007 for the Call of Duty Modern Warfare community event when they revealed the game. And he looked at me and he was like, oh my God, we are getting old.
Yeah, but man.
The point of that was he's the person I've known in PR the longest. So that's like 12 years now, right? And we had that relationship since then, to the point where now we can have conversations like this. We can go have a drink at the bar, talk about the good old days, all that stuff. But it's like, that takes time, man. You don't snap your finger and you just get that instantly. You have to work on that. You have to cultivate that stuff. And it's like, even with Gamescom, yo, I tweeted that I'm going to Gamescom, got people all in my DMs trying to invite me to stuff. Cause they're like, wait, you're going? Oh, let me invite you to this. Let me invite you to that. You know? But that's the thing of you establish the relationships. You work on that stuff. It's a two-way street. It's not just about, oh, I cover your game or your product and then we're done. It's like you cover that product this time. You establish that relationship with them because, look, as you know, Danny, this industry is very small, right?
Yep.
People move around. They don't stay in the same spot. Like, it just so happens this person I was talking about with Call of Duty has been doing that for this long. That is like a unicorn in this industry, right? But, you know, people move around. So the game or the product that they're covering today, they ain't going to be covering it tomorrow. They're going to be covering something else. They're going to be doing something else. So you need to establish those relationships. You need to have that respect, that's a two-way street. The respect for them and the respect comes back to you because, you know, we work together. It's like I say, it's a symbiotic relationship when it comes to marketing and PR. And I think with a lot of people that's just getting into this, they don't understand how that works and the hard work and the dedication and just the respect factor that has to go in to cultivate that so that you can get the access that you need. And then at the same time, you need to give that same PR person the kind of coverage that they're looking for to justify you getting that access. And when I say that, I'm not saying you need to gas up their game and say it's the greatest thing ever. You can obviously criticize the game, but you need to cover it the right way too. You can't just come out and go, hey, I got to see Call of Duty and it was great. Wash your hands. Why do you think it's great? Or why don't you like it? You need to actually talk about it and put out, relatable content for it, things like that. So I'm long-winded to just simply say, I basically went on this podcast, and when it comes out, I'll tweet about it and say who they are and all that stuff. But it was fun talking to them and just the questions that they were asking me, because I was that person 12 years ago, right? Trying to figure all this stuff out, not knowing what I'm doing. Who do I talk to? What do I do? And it was people like yourself and other people back then that helped me understand how this works. Like, matter of fact, a PR, and I won't say her name, but you know who it is, because she's like literally the dopest PR person ever that has just always been awesome with us. And I told the story about her, how she helped me. God, this was around the Mass Effect 2 time, because she's the one that set me up for Mass Effect 2.
Oh, okay.
But you know who I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about.
Yep.
How she broke it down. She broke everything down on how PR works, how just because you ain't getting access to this now, you can't, unless you got the numbers to justify certain things, you're not going to get access to it. So if you get denied, you can't be upset about that. He goes, and she's like, I help when I can, but sometimes if you don't have the reach or the influence or the numbers to justify access to something, I can't give it to you. And you can't take a no personally. That was the biggest thing I took from her. Don't take no personally. Sometimes no has to be justified. And the other thing that I learned from that, and both you and I know this, if you don't ask, you ain't getting access. So ask knowing that you potentially could be denied and be okay with that. You know what I'm saying? So I think a lot of people don't realize that. They get denied and they get all pissed off. Like the Paxton, I got denied. Am I pissed off about it? No.
We were actually laughing about it. We were like, whatever.
I know this is hilarious. But at the same time, it was funny because people were reaching out saying, oh, talk to this person, talk to that person. You know, people I didn't even really know was hitting me up. Oh, talk to this person. They'll get you in. They'll get you in. It'd be ridiculous if you're on it. And then I knew about the Gamescom thing. So I was like, no, I go, it's all good. I'm not going to follow up on it. I'm pretty sure if I was to really push it, I could get a badge to PAX. But at this point, there's no reason to. But the point I'm making on that is you have to try. If you don't try, you're not getting anything. Mm-hmm. You can't sit at home mad because you're sitting in your office every day recording a podcast, you know, once a week, and you're not growing your audience or you're not getting access to stuff. What else can you do besides sitting at home to do that? And that's how you got to think about it. And even I understand people, you know, may not have the financial means to actually travel out to these events. Okay, let's say you can't. There is an amazing weapon that we see used every day to get access to things and to meet people. It's called social media. Be active on social media then. Use it. Use it the right way. Don't use it like some people do. You don't need to spam up people, but join in on conversations. Tweet out your content. Let people know who you are, and you slowly but surely build that way. Like, there's a good friend of ours, and I won't name him, but he works at Razer now. Again, I know you know who I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. This cat used Twitter and literally went from nothing to building himself a job in the gaming industry. And he works at Razer to this day in a prominent position. And I remember when he was just starting out, and I remember we went to an event together, and he was talking about his dreams and his aspirations, what he wanted to do. And guess what? He freaking did it, because he hustled. He busted his ass. He worked hard, you know what I mean, to do it. And he used the tools that were available to him. And that's the advice I can give anybody. Look at the tools that you have. Use them to their fullest. If you put in the effort and the work, if you truly want something and you grind, you're going to get it. That's the way I look at it anyways, because to think any differently, then why are you even trying? If you think, oh, I'm going to really try it, but I probably won't succeed, then why are you doing it? You have to go in with the mentality that you're actually going to succeed at what you're trying to do. I literally talked my way into going to Gamescom.
Yeah,
You have to do it. Literally talked it into existence, and now I'm going. A lot of the stuff that we've done over the years, we talk it into existence, and we put in the work to actually do it. Look, I don't know why this turned into this conversation about the hustling 101, but that's what it is. You got to bust your ass, man. You can't sit back with your hand out expecting people to give you stuff, because if you do that, you're not going to get it. Period.
Beyond that, Paris, and this is the thing that I've been noticing too, is because we know a lot of content creators have been doing it for years. I feel like, don't get me wrong, maybe a lot of people are just comfortable and they just sit, they're just comfortable with what they have. But at the same time, you have to evolve too, man. You need to know the technology, the new stuff that's going on that is going to help your content. Let's say you release a podcast a long time ago. You can't just have it on iTunes, right? You have to put it everywhere. Find out, do research, read about the industry, how whatever content platform that you're using, right, for your stuff. Find out new features. What they're doing to help the content creators. For example, when we were on Libsyn, dude, I was following the whole staff. Oh, we have new features. Okay, now we partner with another company. We have Spotify. We have this. We have that. And submit your content through there, because then that's going to help your podcast to go out there even more. And other people from the outside that just trying to listen to a show, it's going to help them discover you. That's another thing, man. Like the story that we always talk about, Paris, is when we went to Time Phone and there was a bunch of YouTubers and we didn't have no YouTube, like an official video. That day, we looked at each other and we're like, hey, you know what? We got to step up our game, man. We got to change it up. Let's our numbers is not the same as the podcast, because the podcast is where we're going to get our huge audience. But I think that's going to help get a couple people discover us through Twitch or through YouTube or Twitter, whatever platform that we use. I noticed the other day you've been streaming through Periscope on Twitter. You've never used that before. You just did it and there was a lot of people watching your video.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's funny. It's funny you say that. I literally did that as a goof. I was in the hotel lobby waiting to go to the Call of Duty event.
Yeah.
And I was like, I've never done this before. Screw it. I'm going to do it. And I just turned it on and I just started talking. And it was amazing how many people rolled up in there and was watching and engaging and all that, to the point where I'm like, huh, I should do this more kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Again, it's another medium to get our content out there, to get the things that we do out there. So that's what I mean, man. It's never be comfortable, like satisfied, like, okay, I'm good. We're good. We made it. We're always try and think of other ways, to present yourself and put yourself out there. That's just how I look at it.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah, I agree. And I know the person that you mentioned, like we attended the Outer Worlds a couple of weeks ago for the first time. This person invited us. We've known this person for years. We've never gotten an invitation from this person to attend like their gaming events. Maybe only for like E3, behind closed doors. Yeah. But an actual event that they fly us out and we'll go and check out like the game in a different city, that has never happened. That was the first time. And we know this person for eight, 9 years, maybe a decade. I mean, it's just, man, I don't know. Like, I'm still hungry, still like ready to work, still ready to like get new content. Like, I'm excited, man. I'm excited for the future, especially next year with all the new consoles and all the stuff that's coming out. Dude, Paris, like, you going to that trip to Gamescom, oh man, that's going to open the doors for like other things, man. Because one thing that I noticed is how many people from the United States, like content creators, are actually flying over there to Gamescom.
Yeah,
it's very small.
Yeah. Because like one of the things that I'm going to, because I actually was on the phone talking to this PR person about it, and they told me that they were only seeing the European stuff. So when they saw someone from the US was actually going, they had to jump on it. It was like, oh, let me get you into this too.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's content that's going to be relevant to the US audience. So you get an outlet, I guess, if you want to call us, that's US based with a big US following, that, oh, they get to see this game too. Because trust me, there's a game that I'm going to get to see and get an interview with that they're debuting at Gamescom. I'm telling y'all going to be excited for it. All right, because I'm excited for it.
Yeah.
I can't wait
now, to see it. Now, a lot of the listeners been hitting me up and also on Discord. Make sure to join our Discord channel, guys. Go over there and join, because I really would like for us to continue the conversation. So one thing that they were asking me, Paris, is this is going to be content like E3 nonstop? Or like what is it your plans for those who are listening to the show?
I can't make any promises on how that's going to work, because I honestly, like I said, it's mm-hmm. just me.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm going... So people understand, I'm going to be active on the Gamescom show floor on the 21st and the 22nd of August. The 20th, I already have a commitment to something, so I'm not sure. I may have content on the 20th, the 21st, and 22nd. 21st to 22nd, 100% I am. 20th is a maybe. It just depends on that day, how it works out. I'm not sure yet. But the point I'm trying to make on that is, it's just me, 21st and 22nd. I'm running from appointment to appointment. That's how booked I am. So I don't know in the evening, depending on the evening events, if I'm going to have time to actually sit down and push out content, whatever. I mean, again, I don't know what your availability is going to be, Danny, whatever. There could be a scenario where I can like upload, like, oh, I got this audio, I got this. I don't know. But it may be a thing of some of the content I get, we may trickle out over time. It just depends. I don't know. All I know is I'm going to record some stuff. We'll see how it goes. This one I'll say, because obviously I'm super excited for this. I'm going to go see that Cyberpunk demo again. I don't know how it's going to change from E3, but I'm going to see it again. And then right after that, I'm going to be able to sit down with certain people at CD Projekt Red to talk about it. Right. That's probably something we'll want to get out sooner rather than later, because obviously it's going to be big, big news, stuff like that. Some of the other stuff, depending, like that one game I mentioned that I know people are excited about, may try to get that out right away, things like that. But there's some other things we'll probably hold on to and just trickle out over time, you know, things like that. But I'm excited, because it's one of those experiences that, you know, when it was offered to me, I'm like, I cannot pass this up. There's no way. I mean, you know, to be able, and again, this is what I was kind of trying to explain to those guys I was talking to on the podcast, that it's amazing. You know, let me take it this way. Deej asked a question on Twitter the other day where he said, because obviously all this nonsense is going on where they're blaming video games for the violence in the US. We don't really need to go into that. But in relation to that, he asked a question, how has video games helped you? And to me, that's such a loaded question, because obviously we got a decade plus a history with this stuff. But it's amazing to me that this will be my fourth time going to Europe because of a video game. Because of a video game. It's crazy. It's the craziest thing ever to me. It blows my mind to this day that, you know, I have these kind of opportunities, because we love the gaming industry. We're passionate about it. We obviously create content around it. You know, we engage with people on social media of it. And the point I was making when I responded on a tweet is, like, I've met so many people from around the world that have impacted my life because of video games. It's the wildest stuff. I almost curse. This is the wildest stuff ever that this happens and continues to happen. Like, another thing, I'm going to be on a panel at TwitchCon. You know,
yeah. Thought are you gonna be multiple or just like one? That. Multiple or one?
Just one. I got invited to be on one. So, because I had no plans.
Okay.
To, you know, do anything. So
yeah.
You know, I'm gonna be able to do that and engage with people at TwitchCon, all that kind of stuff. So it's like when you add it all up, man, it's an amazing opportunity. And one thing I like I told these guys and I tell people all the time, be be thankful and blessed for the opportunities that come your way, because I'm telling you right now, there are literally millions of people that wish they could be in our position. And I don't say that as an arrogant thing or be envious of us. I'm saying that as an actual fact that we are lucky to be in the positions that we're in, you know, and be respectful of the fact that we're in those positions and take advantage of it. Because you and I have seen so many people over the years just throw away opportunities that are right in front of them for various reasons. And it's always just a shake head moment. Like, wow, really? And again, I'm not trying to get all into it for those reasons, but it's sad to see potential wasted. And we've seen a lot of it. So I try to live this thing to the fullest, man, because it could end tomorrow. Who knows? You know what I'm saying? So as long as we get an opportunity to do this stuff, I'm taking advantage of it. Absolutely. Because yeah. I know that we are very lucky to be in these positions. And I'm just thankful for it.
Yeah, agreed, man. Agreed. And you know what, Paris, like this past weekend, I was just like just frustrated with a lot of things going on. You know, especially, you know, politicians blaming on violence because of video games and just that. And then I'm not going to talk about it much, but, you know, with the whole thing that's going on with the ESA, I was just like really frustrated. So, you know, just talking to you right now about our plans, what's going on, what's going to happen, you know, in the future with, you know, our coverage of Gamescom and all, like, you know, I'm in a better mood, man, because, yo, dude, this weekend I was just, like, upset and just, like, frustrated on everything that's going on, man, you know? And I bet there's a lot of people in our community that probably feel the same, man, seeing all these negative things of people that don't know anything about video games and start talking trash. And, you know, last week, actually, you know, that the 16-year-old kid that won $3 million, you know, him just playing Fortnite nonstop and then going to the tournament, the World Cup in New York City. You know, not only him, but multiple players won a lot of money, you know, because of gaming. Yeah. So, you know, there's a lot of positive things about gaming, man. But, you know, I think that people that just don't understand it, yo, they're going to start making fun of it and all that. Like, you know what it is? A 16-year-old kid made more money than Tiger Woods and other athletes. Think about that, yo. Think about that.
Yeah.
You know, and not only that, Paris, but even tournaments, esports tournaments that gets more views, more people watching it than the NBA Finals, than the World Series, than other sporting events. So it's like, there's a lot of positive things, man. We just got to do the research and share that knowledge to the people that don't know anything about it, man. You know what I'm saying?
Agreed. 100% agree. 100% agree. I mean, man, that's the thing of, you know, there's so much good in this industry that I know we're not really trying to talk about this. That is just so unfair to try and just generalize it that way, especially in the way that they're doing now with all the violence that's going on. You know, it's unfortunate because trust me, I am who I am today, partly because of this industry and just the opportunities and the things that's been put in front of me, you know?
Yep. Yep. Another thing I want to bring up, a couple months ago, I went to Washington, D.C. and I met up with Reed. Reed used to work at the ESA. And during the conversation, we were talking about like behind the scenes about E3. You know, it was a great conversation. Or you could go back, listen to it. It's an awesome episode. But there was one part of the episode that I think is very important, and especially what happened with the mass shootings in multiple cities this past weekend. You know, a lot of the politicians were right away blaming video games. But there was a conversation that he brought up, that a private meeting that happened at the White House with the video game industry, a lot of people, either they forgot about it or the media just don't talk about it at all. But I think it was a very important conversation. I'm going to play on the podcast here. But before I play that part that was recorded a couple months ago on the show, you have anything to say about that, Paris, before I play it? I don't know.
I mean, honestly, I'm trying to limit how much I get into politics and all that stuff that we talk on here.
Yeah,
other than to just say, like I said before, it's not it's really not fair to generalize video games the way that they have with to correlate it to the violence that's going to happen in the United States, especially when we video games are global and we don't see this level of violence elsewhere. And I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, totally agree, man. So listen, I'm going to play it right now, and everybody, just let me know your thoughts about the conversation. We'll be right back.
You're listening to Gamertag Radio.
All right, here's a non-E3 one.
Sure.
Trump.
Yeah. That Trump. Was interesting.
So for those that don't know, explain what happened. And then we'll go from there.
Well, so there was a school shooting at Marjorie Douglas High School in Florida. I think it might have had the name wrong. It was down in Florida in Lakeland. And it was just a tremendous, sad situation. I think 18 people were killed. Anytime a school shooting happens, we'd be on high alert because we know what follows with that, which is video games could get blamed, especially when it's like a high school or any sort of school environment. So we were already pretty stunned at the news that was going on in Florida and, preparing like, okay, we need to keep our eye out, or, does the shooter play games? Did he have any history of like violence or anything like that? Like what do we know about this? So we might have to prepare for it. And I'd always kind of felt like I have a feeling we might get dragged into this, because I was there in 2012 after the Newtown shooting, and we got called into the principal's office again with the government with Joe Biden. And he had some words for like, hey, you guys, there's a great article you can read about it. He like yelled at us and was like, somebody do something, why? Because the game industry was like, well, it's not our fault. And he was upset about it and ended up working out. But I just kind of always from that moment, I just felt like, people are always going to play games for violence. And so you got to be, you got to be on heightened alert when this thing happens, and we got to be ready for it.
Yeah.
What we weren't ready for was that Sarah Huckabee Sanders was going to just mention us out of nowhere. From what had happened was, I think it was 2 or 3 days after the school shooting, there was a question in the White House press scrum to her about, what are you guys doing about gun violence in America? And she had said, well, we're doing this, and then we're meeting with top video game executives to discuss ways to curb gun violence. No contact had been made by the Trump administration to anybody, to us or to anyone about that. It was like something that just was said. And then we, we're sitting in our office, we have TVs on all the time with the news, and we're like, wow, we just got mentioned in the, our industry just got mentioned. What is going on here? So there was a scramble to kind of figure out, like, who did they talk to? Did they talk to anyone? Well, they hadn't talked to anybody. And in fact, from what we'd heard, it was kind of like she just slipped the tongue that they had discussed maybe doing this. And it was like a slip of the tongue that someone else in the administration had said, well, let's have a meeting with the game industry. And so she got flummoxed by the question about gun violence. The journalists were not going to let this one go. And so she pulled out games because, why not? It's something everyone else does. Over the next week, it was like a big debate of, do we go? Do we not? Do we do this? Is this actually going to happen? At points, it seemed like this was just going to fade away and it wasn't going to be a thing. And then suddenly it became something that got in the news. And so Trump's attention got on it. So he said, I'm going to have a meeting. And it came down to, there was a meeting with Trump, and it was pretty famous that, ESA had to go and meet with Trump. And what it came down to was, they had gotten a coalition of people who have been very anti-video games and games violence, in the past. And that was going to be the people he was going to talk to. So we got involved and we brought people to the table, like Robert Altman from, Bethesda. I believe Strauss Zelnick from Take-Two went. And so they went in, and we'd brought this graph that went out in 2012. There was this study about games and violence and about who plays the most games and who has the most gun violence. And you can probably figure out what that chart looks like. USA has the same games usage as all the other nations, but we have the gun problem. Japan doesn't have the gun problem. Germany doesn't have the gun problem. Britain doesn't have the gun problem. Everyone's got this gun. Everyone's got games being played, but they don't have the violence issue. So our graphic designer, Melanie, who just, she knew Trump is Trump. She just put a big red dot that said USA on the graph. And like, that was the graph we brought in.
Yeah.
And what I'd been told was you know, the meeting started with Trump showing that reel of violent video games. And if you're a gamer, they picked some games that, you know, gamers would know. Like, they had somebody on staff who knew their violent games. They had good taste in violent video games.
Didn't that video was posted on the White House YouTube channel?
So that we'll get to that, but yes, it did. there's a reason that's a little frustrating too.
Yeah.
So they brought this video in, and it was like a who's who of violent games, and there was some recent stuff and even trailers. You know, there was games that people sitting in that room, those are their games, that the president's showing them a video, and he just looks at the video and he goes, pretty violent stuff, huh, guys? And the conversation kind of exchanges, and we had said, look, here's the graph. He saw the graph. Marco Rubio was in the meeting. Trump saw the graph and was like, we got a problem here, Marco, right? And like gave him the graph. And then after that was really it. You know, there really wasn't a whole lot going on.
That was more for press, man.
It was more for press. And it was, you know, well, one of the things was there was a big debate. Is it going to be open to press? Is it not going to be open to press? And it ended up not being open to press. And I have a theory for why that happened. We'll get to another story here is they did the video. They, you know, met. It was a pretty tame meeting. Like, I don't think Donald Trump really cared. I think he just knew he's going through the motions to, you know, maybe this will get us off of the gun violence issue because we did this. You know, nothing substantial came out of it. But then afterwards, the White House puts out a press statement and uploads the YouTube video they showed to the official YouTube White House. And in the statement, they say, oh, there may be some connection between games and violence, which, you know, we'd shown, well, there isn't. And so they kind of just said it anyway and didn't really listen to anything that it said because it's still there. It says, oh, games, there may be games that cause violence. And that is the reason that's a big deal in that video getting uploaded to YouTube is every single thing that the White House uploads on official channels gets archived. So that is American history now, that violence in video games, that video will be there forever. As long as there is a United States, you will be able to find that video. And that means that now there is an official statement in the archive of the White House acknowledging video games may cause violence. And also, here's a hit list of the best violent video games because somebody on that staff definitely plays violent games and I knew exactly what games to throw on that one.
And the thing that got me curious was they had that video unlisted on their YouTube channel. It wasn't like officially there.
I think what had happened was they put it up there unlisted to make it easier. Like, you know, I've done that times where someone's like, hey, can I have a video for a press? You know, I'm doing a slideshow on PowerPoint. Can you put a YouTube video online for me to go to, click a link to? Yeah, it's unlisted. If you have the link, you got it. Well, someone got the link, it got out. And then next thing you know, it became more public. So it's out there and it's there, but at the end of it, though, I remember after the meeting, it went well. Nothing came out of it. It's not like any regulations were going to be proposed. It's not like the industry made some promise to, you know, do $1 million ad campaigns to brighten its image. It was just kind of like a stale, like, okay, nothing, the best possible result could have happened. Nothing happened.
Yeah.
Later that night, it's reported Donald Trump had gotten a letter from Kim Jong-un. And he comes out that night to say they're going to have the first North Korea U.S. summit, and it's happening during E3. Like it was happening at June 11th or 12th was when they were going to do it. And it started to make sense why Trump probably wasn't that interested or didn't want to make a big deal out of this, or why he closed that meeting to reporters, is because the bigger story was coming that night, and that was, I've got a handwritten letter from the dictator of North Korea
who wants
to meet with me.
This is going
to
create a buzz.
And then I thought to myself, I was like, you couldn't ask for a greater news because now it's buried the video game thing because it was such a nothing story. So now that's buried because everyone's talking about North Korea now. So, you know, that's also kind of, you know, why I think Trump's didn't seem to care from what we understand. And it's just, I think he had a bigger thing on his plate, which was North Korea. And North Korea is a bigger play for him than the hackneyed video games cause violence debate. I mean, they got brutalized by the media for that. That was the most I've seen media take our side on the debate ever. Sometimes you'll see even left-leaning sites go, yeah, games cause violence, we need to regulate. And, you know, it's an issue that right and left will band together on because it's easy points. It's an easy finger to point at and blame.
Yeah. So. Yeah.
This is Gamertag Radio. Voicemail at 786-2737-GTR.
All right, Paris, so that was it. Anything else before we wrap it up, man? Before we wrap up our daily conversation. Actually, I was thinking about this, Paris. The last time we recorded a daily conversation. I think this was before E3. We haven't done that. We haven't done this in a while, man. So it's good that we're back. Bring it back. Daily conversations, yeah. Right?
Yeah. It's good. This is good. Man. I mean, like I said, it's some exciting stuff, you know, is happening coming up. So yeah, I'm just very fortunate and blessed to have these opportunities. Really is all it comes down to. But it's exciting times. It's exciting times. Definitely exciting times. So I hope people listening to this can take something out of it and appreciate what we're talking about. And if they got any aspirations to do this stuff themselves, just understand, you know, it's going to take a lot of work.
Yep. And speaking about traveling too, I'm also traveling to the West Coast. I'm going to check out the finals of the Call of Duty World League. It's going to take place over there in Los Angeles. So anybody in the Los Angeles area that's listening to this, hit me up. We probably could do like a little meetup or something like that, man. So yeah, keep me posted.
That's funny too, because you're coming out here. Like literally, I could probably drive out of the hotel on my way to LAX to go to Germany.
Yeah.
And say, hey, what's going on? And then I'm off to Germany.
Yeah, you know, I was thinking, Paris, I think we should record something before you head out. We should definitely record something.
Yeah, if it's time. We'll see. Because, I mean, my flight doesn't leave that day until like 3:00 in the afternoon.
Yeah.
But, you know, LA traffic and all that, you know, just I want to make sure I'm there early, you know, so I don't have to rush to try and get to my gate, stuff like that.
We'll do breakfast, man. Yeah. Breakfast or something, man. No?
So, yeah, we'll figure it out.
Yeah, definitely, man. And everybody head over to GimmeTagRadio.com and share our content. Follow us on any platform. Doesn't matter which one. Just search for Gamertag Radio and subscribe, follow us, or review. Discord, Paris, what's Discord? Discord.gg/GTR?
Yep, GTR.
There you go. And if you also want to continue to support us, you know, you can also donate. Just go to donate.gamertagradio.com. And that's about it. Until next time, thank you for listening to a brand new episode of GTR Daily Conversations. And see you next time. Peace.
Thanks for listening to Gamertag Radio. Be sure to like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.